now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, it's been a busy year with many, many releases, new events, books, both fiction and non-fiction, along with services to talk about as we round out the year with our annual look at who and what we were talking about in 2018. Kicking off with two bands who, in 2018, did what many have in the music business actually have attempted, but sadly have failed at, a crowdfunding exercise. Both Nutty and the Martini Kings did it this year to great success. So two from these great bands to start us off tonight.
I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm a flame of such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. Can I do? I hear your name and I'm a flame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. You got your spell on me, baby, turning my heart into stone. Babadoo boo. Every time your lips meet mine, baby, down and down and down I go, round and round and round I go, in a spin, digging that spin I'm in. Black magic woman, I love you so. Black magic woman, I won't let go. Black magic woman, I just can't leave you alone.
Thank you.
This is the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Must pay the price.
Kings and the Deadly Vice, the Cocktail Nation. It's our best of the best for 2018, and one of the best things that came out was James Spencer. He was a very, very busy man in 2018, releasing three books. This one, The Music of Jackie Gleason for Lovers Only. The Music of Jackie Gleason is the first book to examine Gleason's amazing recording career from 51 to 72 at Capitol Records. James spoke to me about this marvelous book.
I'm really proud of this book, even though this book is probably the hardest research I've ever done because there's very little information. But this is the first book. It's called The Music of Jackie Gleason for Lovers Only. It is the first book ever on the market to examine Jackie Gleason's music career. So there's, you know, about 10 really excellent Jackie Gleason bios, but they rarely touch on anything on the music except like a one paragraph mention. And they focus on, you know, the Honeymooners and his, you know, his career as an actor comedian.
Yeah.
So what's tricky about Gleason, as I don't know if people know, but Jackie Gleason did not read one note of music, and he had very limited conducting skills. But he claimed that, you know, that he was a composer, arranger, you know, world-renowned conductor. And so what happened is there was a lot of ghostwriters and people that he kind of paid under the table, or that Capitol kind of, you know, paid off to create the Gleason sound. But I don't want to put Gleason down in that he was an incredible research musicologist that got together with his friends like Frank Sinatra and listened to music and examined songs. You know, he had this very, very strong vision of and passion for the music, wanting to create the most beautiful romantic mood music of the mid-century. And vision also meant that he broke all the rules, which is why he's so interesting.
Later in the year, James Spencer wrote another book called Soundscape. It's your definitive one-stop companion guide to the best artists of lounge, easy listening music, encyclopedia of artists and albums. He spoke about this inspiration for the book.
I realized as a musicologist myself, there's not that much written material on mid-century lounge music. There's very little. I can literally count them on my hand, and I'm going, you know, someone needs to do a basic encyclopedia type reference book where, you know, people can just look up an artist, get a suggested album, or if they don't know, if they're new to the genre and they're just coming into the lounge, they can start learning the artist quickly. So I had this idea many years ago back in my mind to do sort of a trilogy, which now I've completed. I was going to do one on the vocalist, which was the Jewels of Jazz, and kind of focus on mid-century vocals. And then the second one was going to be the Cocktail Piano, which I just, you know, I completed. And then this one, you know, I was kind of like, well, you know, what do people tend to go to? And I realized that, you know, it's a relative term, but when we say bachelor pad music, that includes space age, that includes exotica, that includes easy listening, you know. And I'm like, so what I did in this book is kind of picked a little bit of everything. And obviously I can't cover every single artist, but I think it gives really good, well-rounded view of, like, if someone's saying, okay, like, I'm looking for orchestral albums from mid-century, and maybe some people know Jackie Gleason, but maybe they're not familiar with Paul Weston or Ray Anthony or, you know, Stanley Black or whoever. So I think, you know, there's a good variety there.
Yes, he certainly was a very, very busy fella, and we thank him for his service to lounge music, James Spencer. He also released the Cocktail Piano Companion early in the year.
And I realized over the years when I was performing out and, you know, with albums now and, you know, fans of Cocktail Nation, people I talk with, is that no one has ever really done a piano encyclopedia, a pianist. Like, you know, there's nothing, you know, on. And what happens is, you know, we all know, you know, the famous pianists. We all know Liberace, and most people are familiarized with maybe like George Shearing and Bill Evans, but there's literally hundreds of pianists out there. And so what I wanted to do with this book specifically is to look at, you know, Cocktail Piano. If you really look at it, it starts as far back as the Baroque era, where, you know, if you were in a palace like Versailles, you would have your champagne and there'd be someone sitting there playing, you know, a piano sonata. And that started this, and then it moved into to home salon gatherings, like in the Victorian era.
Yeah.
You know, people would gather in someone's home, they'd have a cocktail, you know, sit around a piano, sing parlor tunes. And you know, if you look at, it's interesting, because then you look at Liberace, and what did he do? He borrowed, you know, the candelabras and the things from the 1800s and combining pop music with the classics. And in fact, a lot of people might not know this, but Liberace got the idea for the candelabra from a music, a movie called Song to Remember, which was a biopic of Chopin. You know, so it's really interesting that Cocktail Piano, what most people think of as Cocktail Piano, you know, candlelight, a nice, quiet, intimate bar, all of that starts back in the 1800s. So what I also wanted to do is that, you know, every city demographics is different on what people play that are pianists, you know, and what's popular. So what I wanted to do is start scouting the whole world for cocktail pianists and just see who I connect with and see who would want to be part of this book.
It's James Spencer with Bittersweet on the Cocktailnation, Best of the Best for 2018.
de Cocktail Nation with Lounge Leader Coucou Père.
Okay, let's go to the phones here. Hello.
I just ring you up and encourage you and say that you're doing a fantastic job, and it's always a pleasure to hear you on the radio, buddy.
Hey, Coop, how you doing?
And of course, you're always going to hear Martin Denny and Martha Lyman all the way.
I'm very happy and proud to be on your show. Thank you for calling halfway around the world.
Lounge, Exotica and Spirit Jazz, this is Cocktail Nation with Coucou Père.
The best on the Cocktail Nation. Nation with Daniel Pemberton, In Vogue from the Ocean's 8 soundtrack. I did see the movie. It's not the most fantastic movie, but the soundtrack from Daniel Pemberton is just fabulous. And I rave about Daniel because he's done numerous soundtracks, most notable, of course, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which we've played here on the show. And I just love the soundtrack from Ocean's 8. Also, I must say, it's been a big year for me. I was featured in Bachelor Pad magazine. We took on some new stations here for the Cocktail Nation, and I created a news channel in the Apple News, which is their standard little news app that you can customize. So, yeah, a big year for the Cocktail Nation, that's for sure. And so pleased that there were so many great artists and so many great writers and so many great services for 2018. One of those is a website called Critiki. We spoke to Huma Huma Trot about this.
Actually, I used to live in Seattle, Washington, and when I first started to get curious and interested about these old Polynesian restaurants and tiki bars, they were all gone from Seattle. I knew that I needed to travel if I wanted to actually see any of the old ones in person, and so I started to look up what places I could go visit. Yeah. I started to want to keep track of what I knew about the places that were out there. And I'm a software developer by trade. My focus has been databases since the mid-90s. So that's just what I did. Whenever I had information I was collecting together, I would make a database for my own personal use.
Yeah.
And with this one, this is such a goofy thing to me, for me to be creating a database of tiki locations. I was like, well, this maybe is something that other people would be interested in. So I decided to make it a website where people could actually weigh in with their own thoughts and experiences.
And we heard about a new festival for the Midwest. Mark Modrow told us about the Malheny Tiki Festival.
Well, the West Coast, I came from California, where there is so much tiki, and there are great festivals that have been established for many years. The East Coast of the United States also has a couple of major festivals that happen each year. But the entire center of the United States has been seriously underserved. So this is my attempt at building a great festival where people will come from everywhere. Now, I came to Kansas City in April of 2017, and I discovered that there were all of these really fantastic people who had tiki bars in their basements, and most of them didn't know each other. They formed a Facebook group called Mo Can Tiki. Mo for Missouri, K for Kansas, as Kansas City kind of sits on the border. And they started communicating with each other. And now these people have become dear friends and just incredible supporters of building a tiki festival here.
The best of the best on the Cocktail Nation.
Here's the Tiki Torches from their 2018 release called Departure and the song Quiet Village. With the best of the best. Another man who's been very, very busy this year, just like Mr. Spencer, is Mr. Darren Long. We had a busy year with the release of a book about a restaurant, which came in just in time before it closed down, and a fiction book release. He told us about his new book called Omni Hut, celebrating Tennessee's tiki treasure.
It's the thing that's unique about it compared to the Maikai and Fort Lauderdale and the Bali High in San Diego and places like that. This place never had a tiki bar, so to speak, due to the Tennessee liquor laws of all these years. And it goes back 57 years, the restaurant does. So they've actually made their claim to fame with the quality of the food and the service and just the great tiki atmosphere of the place. And so it's kind of unique amongst the other tiki places that it's not known for tiki drinks, so to speak. So when we first started going there in about 2009, my wife and I, it was kind of off the radar. I mentioned that in the introduction that we've lived here since 1997 and we never heard of the place.
Yeah.
Because it's about 24 miles south of Nashville. And they didn't really do any advertising because they're so well known in the area that we didn't even really know about it until some friends of ours who just moved from New York introduced us to it, which was kind of ironic since we'd been living here all this time. And they said, hey, there's this great tiki place down in a little town called Smyrna, Tennessee down here. I was like, you're kidding. There's a tiki place? So we became big fans after going there and just fell in love with the place. And in 2012, when I was writing for Tiki Magazine, I worked with Nick Camara, the editor and owner, and I said, hey, of Tiki Magazine, I said, nobody's ever written about the Omni Hut in Tennessee, as far as I know, because it's just rare. There aren't that many tiki places in the South, let alone. I said, would you mind if I wrote an article about it? And he said, no, you're right there. Go ahead and do it. So I wrote that first article about the Omni Hut, and then a year later, I did a follow-up article on George Walls, who's one of the kids from the original family, who's a tiki carver, and I did a featured article on him. So I've written about him before, but it's always in the back of my mind that I thought they need a book about the Omni Hut. They need a book that they could sell right there in the restaurant. And I kept thinking, well, somebody will write it, you know, maybe a James Spencer kind of guy. somebody will pop up and write it. And nobody ever did. So finally, about 2 years ago, year and a half ago or so, I approached the owner, Polly, and said, what do you think about me writing a book, you know, about the Omni Hut? And all the family got on board with it very much right away. So it just started the process about a year and a half of I wanted to do interviews with all the main people of the family. And that's really what the book is based on. It's really, if I didn't have the interviews, it would be a pretty lousy book, I think, because it's really the input of the family and their sharing of their memorabilia and photographs and all their memories that really kind of brought it to life. So it was kind of a new experience for me.
Darren Long also wrote a fiction book as well, Dirk Dacquery, Our Lady of San Francisco, which continues the tradition of the Dirk Dacquery series. Here he is talking about
it. He's an ex-San Francisco detective who's now, technically, he's a private investigator. And his best friend, Steve, who in real life is my best friend, Steve Hardiman, they're good buddies and they were partners on the force, and so they worked together kind of based on the Perry Mason type stories and Peter Gunn, who had his pal was the Lieutenant Jacoby on the police force, because they tend to work together a lot. This story, he's working with Coop Cooper, the movie star from Australia, and he's going to be working with Coop as a technical advisor for this movie, which is Our Lady of San Francisco, Coop's next movie that's being filmed. Some of the film location shots are being done there in San Francisco. And without giving it all away, there is, let's say there's a love triangle going on that leads to the heart of the action, so I don't want to give that away because that's kind of the high point of the story. But there's, you know, and typical, the way I like to write these stories, there's a lot of San Francisco in there, a lot of Mai Tais and martinis and Top of the Mark at the Mark Hopkins Hotel, and there's Tiki Bob's. These are all real locations.
Darren is a very, very busy fella. He also released another single from his Tiki Delights band, and this one is called Fashionably Late, again on the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Fashionably Late again from 2018. This year we explored the world of deceased estates with a book called Selling Dead People's Things by Duane Scott Cerny.
I was fortunate enough, in 2013 I wrote one of these stories, was published in the New York Times, and it was really well received, and I was just flooded with emails from people from all over the place. And I thought, I think I'm onto something here. That people, it's not always about, you know, wanting to know the appraisals and the value of things. We all get hung up on money. Mm. Where, in fact, these objects and their owners can often be very fascinating. And I realized, my gosh, I've been doing this for 30 years. I have all these stories, and people wanted to hear them.
Yeah.
5 years later, here's the book.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I've been along to a few deceased estates in the past, and it's a strange thing. As a collector myself, you know, you're very interested in these objects, but I think when you walk into somebody's house, as opposed to finding them in a thrift shop or something like that, there's a real connection that these objects were, you know, used and touched by somebody, and they were of value. They might have a family history associated with them. It could be anything, and that's the funny thing. Things have a story, don't they?
Exactly, and yeah, these things could very well be, let's use the word, loved.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you think about it, if you go to estate sale, a tag sale, there's always different expressions for this. Mm. But you actually become a bit of a detective.
Yeah.
As you're going through someone's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a big puzzle, and you start putting it together, and sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Maybe there's somebody there to confirm it. That's the sweet spot for me.
Yeah.
Because these objects often tell stories, and it can be the smallest thing can say the most amazing impression, be the most relevant thing about that person's life.
Marvelous book. Make sure you get your hands on it. Vivian Lee now.
Someday you'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand, and in a little while he will take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe he will come Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure he'll come one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. We'll build a little home, just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love. someday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure that he'll come one day, maybe Tuesday. Tuesday will be my good news day. We'll build a little home that is meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love. I'm waiting for the man I love.
This is Cocktail Nation with Coucou Père.
Nation with the best of the best, Jimmy Psycho there from his 2018 release, Mosh Pits and Mai Tais, Ultimate Punk Rock Lounge Party album. We also found out about a new magazine this year called Exotica Moderne. We spoke to Ken Holowinski, who's the man behind this incredible magazine, which is just new.
You know, like everybody pretty much in the first issue, Tim and David and who's number three? Oh, Mark Thompson. Yes, they're all, you know, Midwesterners like me. And three times a year at Holokahiki, which is in River Grove, just outside of Chicago. That is probably, well, it's Chicagoland area's oldest tiki bar, 1964. Still original. Kids of the original owners are running it now. And there's a lowbrow aloha show that David Chris puts on three times a year. And when I started doing some glassware and mugs, I'm like, I'll go vendor this thing. And just kind of hit it off with all of them, Kim Bang and Mark and David. And we started discussing the fact that, you know, tiki in America, much like you probably know down there, it's very segregated. It's West Coast primarily. There's a little bit down in Florida, but, you know, the Midwest isn't exactly known for a tiki scene. Mm. So we started either bemoaning or celebrating that fact. And then I started talking to David about kicking around the idea of a magazine. And the previous Tiki magazine had kind of gone on some sort of hiatus and no one still has figured out it yet. And I thought, well, you know, I used to publish. I should probably just go ahead and do this. Yeah. it's either a brilliant idea or, it's publishing is what it is. You don't figure out if you actually turn a profit for a while. But
yeah, and that's not the most important thing anyway. It's, you know, the most important thing is your love of it and getting it out there too. I mean, and if you enjoy it, things will come to you.
I'm happy with the way it came out. The sales have been really good. And it definitely continuing issue two is underway. But yeah, I always do, and everybody always says this to me, that I do my best work when I just do something I want to do for myself.
L'Ange Lotario DJ, Cocopa, Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
the best of the best on the Cocktail Nation.
Well, that is the best of our best product releases for 2018. Next week, it's music releases as we go through some of the big music releases of the year. We have played some of them tonight. More next week. And I'm going to leave you with a man who is included in the list for the best of the best music releases. His album was actually released in late 2017, but we didn't interview him till 2018, so I figure that kind of fits into it. Joey Altruder from his album Booze, Babes and Bongos and The Knockaround. Stay hip.